Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Greenmount Station. The sign above me says so in the back. Televisions everywhere. I can touch the OTB here on my right side and touch the North Carroll Athletic Hall of Fame. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have these scratch-offs here, the Back to the Future scratch-offs. This guy saw Back to the Future 1, Back to the Future 2, probably drove the DeLorean. He is one of my recurring figures in my life, even without headphone, headset, amp, sound. Howard Scherer is here. He is currently a duck doctor, but was once my compadre in the middle concourse of the Baltimore Civic Center at the Baltimore Municipal Ruins, as Phil Jackman would call it back in the day, as a Baltimore Skipjacks fan. And when times are dark, when the team's in last place, when I need someone to talk to, I call Howard. How are you, man?
Thank you. Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I put this together today, and I got my scratch offs. I'm going to give these out in the bar, and we're in the little club room over here next to the OTB and the North Carroll Hall of Fame in beautiful Hampstead. And I looked at the calendar when the Orioles schedule came out, and I'm like, they got an afternoon game here in April. I'm going to go to Costas. I've got an afternoon game here in June. Oh, look, they're playing a 3 o'clock game on a Thursday in spring in Hampstead. In a great sports bar, right? Where you know, OTB, the whole deal. And I'm like, they're playing the Mariners. You know, it'll be five games over 500 by then. Pitching got to figure it all out. But there'll be three games out of first place. It'll just be a meaningful game. Not they've won 8 out of 10 and 5 in a row, but they're mired a dozen games under 500 in last place.
Right.
So that's not really what I had in mind here. I don't know, man. I'm Baltimore Positive, and you and I have known each other 40 years. You fly in a different circle. I hung out with you on opening day with your hooligans, who bought me some really nice expensive drinks in the Canadian province.
Yes.
I was with you on opening day, and the spirits were so bright. And it was all like, if I would have told you, and I probably said to you, dude, I'm doing the show up at Hampstead in June. Why don't you come do the show? It'll be right in the middle of Stanley Cup. It'll be great. We'll hang out. We'll get a beer. We'll get delicious crab cake. It's the crab cake tour. If I would have told you that they were in last place, like, what? I could not have convinced. I would have bet Rose would have lost whatever he's got left.
I would have never fathomed they'd be in this position. I mean, it was literally the perfect storm of everything going wrong to get them where they are today. Bad pitching, bad hitting, bad defense, everything. I mean, they looked like a last place team for 2 months.
They got the manager fired.
And
I mean, they're playing better baseball as we sit here, right? I mean,
right.
Like, who knows? We're all laughing about this in August. I'm doing this 27th anniversary. I'm going to my 27 favorite places to eat.
Oh,
in
cool.
August.
Good
I'm going to do my favorite things to eat.
Yeah.
Not places, but literally dishes. Literally the things that I don't put on social media every day. Every time I go get an egg custard snowball, I don't share it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I've put together the lists. Because you're always trying to get me like best hockey games you ever saw, best Oreo game. You know, like it's best list, best food is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And if in August I'm out on this tour, and I'm at Coco's eating the coconut shrimp that I think I've shared with you. Or I'm at Costas eating the Oysters Rockefeller that's delicious. And they're like in something that feels like a pennant race. I will stand stunned that you could go 18 games under 500 and still somehow have us talk about them in a pennant race while the Ravens are playing preseason football. I would find that very hard to believe given the first 2 months in the body of work.
I think you need to approach the rest of the season similar to what the Caps did 2 years ago. They made some trades at the trade deadline, sold off some pieces, brought in a couple pieces of new blood, kind of retooled on the fly, and the Caps wound up making the playoffs that year. Squeaked in at the very end. Not that I think the Orioles are going to make the playoffs this year. That would be a stretch, but it could happen. But I think
we're 3 minutes in and already the optimist. It could happen. It's all I want to hear.
It could happen.
Could happen.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
But it's not likely. But I still think they're a well-built team, I think, in a lot of ways. They have a lot of good young stars, and I think a couple of key pieces will make a big difference for them.
There's nothing worse than when prospects don't bloom. In any sport. Whether, like, you and I are old guys, right? And
right.
Look, we were Skipjacks fans, right?
Yes.
Whether it was a Jeff Greenlaw or a Reggie Savage, right?
Right.
Or a Steve Seftel or God bless the late, great Sean Simpson, right?
Yes.
Like, whatever that is that allows Lamar Jackson to be looked over and passed over,
right,
and Ray Lewis to be looked over and passed over, or Joe Flacco at that level to win Super Bowls, whatever that is that gets you there, and the promise of Matt Wieters,
right,
and the disappointment of Rocky Coppinger or Jeffrey Hammonds, or I don't know, pick any baseball draft pick here for 30 years, they never worked out. So to think that every Colton Cowser, every Jackson Holliday, every Jordan Westberg, every Heston Kerstad, every Kirby Mayo,
right,
every Quanner Norby, every Kyle Stowers, that they're all going to at least middle out and be a B.J. Surhoff or a Nick Markakis.
Yes.
Be a really good
occasional all-star.
12-year, right. 15-year baseball player, hall of pretty decent, you know, hall of Major League Baseball. 270 hitter, hit 15, 20 bombs, do it for a decade. Adam Jones, you know,
right,
on the better end of that, right? There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of validity to say that Matt Wieters was this or Nick Markakis was that, but neither one went to the Hall of Fame and they were first-round draft picks, and we expected, we needed that out of them. Like, we need that out of Gunnar Henderson right now. We need,
yes,
that out of Adley Rutschman. And as that Matt Wieters thing becomes, starts as he's going to be Johnny Bench, he's going to be Yogi Berra, he's going to be Maurer with power, to he's going to be Terry Kennedy, you
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
To your Dave Duncan or whatever, Rick Dempsey. And Rick Dempsey's, you know, played 23 years in the big league, 24
yes,
years. Dude, in between all of that, there's the expectation at this point that begats all seven of those guys aren't going to the Hall of Fame, right? They're just not.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I wonder, does the AAA manager pick up the phone ever and call the general manager? The general manager calls the AAA manager and says, hey, you've got that guy down there, Samuel Basayo, who's hitting unbelievably in Norfolk. Like, does he call him and the manager gets on and says, he's going to crush pitching down here, but he's never going to be able to hit it in the big leagues? Do they have that conversation? Or
I've had that conversation one time with and if I give it away, it's probably statute of limitations is okay. Who was the Dodger, Yusniel Diaz?
Yes, the Cuban.
Yusniel Diaz. I had a, and all of you young old-timers out there, you know who you are. You can do the math on who told me this because you would know, because it's modern and my relationships with hippies from Sparrow's Point go back 40 years. But I was told by someone who knew, who was not on the major league team, who said, nah. Just said, nah.
Right.
Like, saw him at Double A and just
yeah,
saw enough of it and just said, nah. Like,
right,
told me that very early on, you know, within the first year after the deal, because it was a Machado deal. Now, also, maybe that same person said to me, now, Dean Kramer, he could be a number three starter. Yeah, he might make it because
right,
he was in the deal too, right? So, but
Yusniel Diaz didn't come in Machado deal, did he?
Did I say that?
Yeah, it wasn't. He was.
He was in the deal before that.
I don't know. I feel like he was not part of it.
Okay, keep going.
I don't know. It's irrelevant.
I'm going to Google that.
Yeah,
go
Google
ahead
it while
I'm
we talk.
But Yusniel Diaz was the right guy. Is the player I'm
yeah,
talking about?
Right.
Somebody looked in him at Bowie and said to me, no, I don't care what he does. Just it's not going to play.
I can
in the
get
minutes
it at those lower levels. And Heston started to turn it around. Let's say Heston Kerstad. But is there somebody in AAA who says he's going to hit 320? Let's say down here, but he's not going to be able to hit 200 in the big leagues. And by the time they've gotten to AAA, or do they just not advance them all the way to AAA because they know they're not going to make it, or do they advance them and they try to hone their skills? You know what I mean? I feel like there's a point.
I was right. See, I'm not
that. It was? Okay.
Dude, it was 7 years ago.
Okay, well, that's why I don't remember.
I mean, right? July 18th, Diaz was traded to the Orioles along with Breivik Valera, Dean Kramer, Rylan Bannon, and Zach Pop. What a great name that is. Zach Pop.
He had a good year.
In exchange for Manny Machado. So what really came out of that is whatever Dean Kramer is.
Yes.
Because Yusniel Diaz was not like, but he was.
He was just going to be a star.
He was the piece.
Yes.
He was the piece. Yes. And somebody looked at that and said that may play for 33 home runs in Norfolk, but that's
right.
That's not going to play in the big leagues.
So, you know, yes, but you want to hit on as many as you can. So if you hit on 80% and 20% fail, then you're doing pretty well.
That's a hell of a rate.
Correct.
80 is
a big.
And I got
to tell you, the true prospects the Orioles have brought up over the last couple of years, most of them have done what you expected them to do.
Until they don't with Rutschman.
Well,
until they get hurt like Rodriguez, or they get hurt like Bradish, which is a pitching thing, and that's a whole different thing. But, you know, Westberg's coming back. To me, I've watched them all, and this is the old man in me, Westberg, for me, might be the best of all of them.
Well, a lot of people are saying that. Right.
Right? Like, for me, he might be the B.J. Surhoff that I'm never going to have to pay him $50 million a year. He's going to be a guy that I'm going to pay him $20 million a year in the next 5 years. He's going to hit me 280, 18 bombs, 22. He's going to play 140 games. I don't know about the pliability or, you know, he's had weird injuries at this point. I do know that when I talk to Luke about Rutschman, dude, we're getting concerned. This is the meat of his 26, 27, 28. Like, I don't know, man.
I think it's fair to be concerned. I think he's still an important part of the team. He, you know, the franchise sort of turned when he came to
you
the
said Basayo before you said Rutschman in
okay,
this piece.
I get it, but I was just
you did
picking a AAA guy, but Rutschman started hit. If you look at his peripheral stats, they've been like his expected batting average or whatever they call that stat has been higher than his numbers have proven, his actual batting average. So I think there's some hope. Maybe he's not going to be what you think he is. So maybe you don't extend him. Maybe he's not the guy you extend. Maybe you try to extend Gunnar and Westberg, or maybe you
anybody that Boros has is like,
right.
In my mind, it'll be shocking if I get a WNST text, Baltimore Positive text,
that's
brought
Gunnar
to you by Cole Roofing.
Right.
Says Orioles extend Boros client X. I would shock me.
I know.
For any of those guys, and Rutschman's in a spot now that's weird. Henderson's in a little bit of a weird spot. I mean, it's like the stock market. What day do you buy? What day do you sell?
Right.
I don't know. You know, when do you quit on Kobe Mayo? When do you give Jackson Holliday the $500 million? Because I'll tell you this right now, and you know what I'm talking about. By the way, Howard Scherer is here, my pal, my sports pal. Were you the first Camden Yards reporter? Second was Tom Kapp and you and Alan. You were.
I was before Alan, I believe.
But after Tom.
And after Tom, I think.
Yeah. So you like 94, 93, 90. Did you know Cheeto Martinez as an example?
Yes.
You did.
So that was, it was around that time.
So you've been with me 33 years on the radio. That's
correct.
All.
Correct.
Dude, I mean, come
impressive,
on. We're still
right?
here. We got delicious crab cakes for Greenmount Station. When Luke and I talk about these pieces individually and these players, 2 years ago today, everyone would have wanted to give Rutschman the whatever it is,
no
the $300 million for whatever it is, right? A year ago today, everyone would have wanted to give Henderson the blah, 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 blah. A year and a half ago, everyone would have said, Bradish,
right?
$20 million a year, 5 years, let's go. Let's do that. This time last year, Corbin Burns loves it here in Baltimore. We're in first place. Corbin, will you take $200 million? Yes, let's do it. So, dude, if I ever joked around with Rubenstein, because he'll never sit next to me, the Whistler, and just I've thrown the towel in on a lot of things with them, and we'll get to that after we have these crab cakes.
Okay.
But if I ever had any sense of humor about all of it, and because Bishotta used to say, every day I get email, they want to fire the coach, they want to fire me, they want to fire... Like, we've all spent Mr. Rubenstein's money, right?
I mean, yes.
Right? And the guy who really spent it didn't do a great job of spending it.
This
Tyler O'Neill, right?
The offseason was not great.
Morton, like, down the list. So, but spending that big banana and Elias's hesitancy to go 200 million deep on anybody right now is prescient for now until you lose them and you get Yuznel Diaz at the end because you give away these guys for a bag of baseballs.
Or you do give Corbin Burns $200 million, and then you find out he's having Tommy John 3 months into the season, which we don't know yet, but he shut down with elbow issues. So,
well, the Orioles didn't sign the guy from the Blue Jays, and they signed Kittredge, and Kittredge is the guy that couldn't pitch, and now the guy from the Blue Jays. Like,
right, I know, it's hit or miss, but you got to wonder.
You're playing Baccarat.
We all play Monday morning quarterback, and this is the business. But the question is, did Elias sit in that front office and tell John Angelos before David Rubenstein that there's no way I'm paying Adley, extending Adley, because he's not going to be what we think he's going to be?
Well, they have the money now. This time, 2 years ago, there was no...
Well, it's a different story, but I'm saying, did Elias know that Adley's not the guy they're going to want to extend? You know, we don't know that. We're not privy to those conversations. They didn't extend
him. I bet it changes, like our opinions change.
It could.
Because the stock market changes,
it could.
Right? I mean, I bet there are staid opinions inside that organization on Coby Mayo.
Yes.
And on Heston Kerstad. There are scouts that said he can, scouts that say he can't. But if you drafted him first, he must. Right? In this
right
now in last place, Rutschman, let's go, you know, or Basayo's coming. And if Elias gets fired, and I'm not going to break on this, we got delicious food here. We're at Greenmount Station giving out the Back to the Future scratch also in the Maryland Lottery with Howard. You know, this is a very, very tender time where I had Maury Brown on this week, covers the business of baseball for Forbes. He's out in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle. He's like, hey, man, Mariners could use Ryan O'Hearn. You know, but Mariners might give you a pitcher, give you something out of their system for Ryan O'Hearn. And, hey, Sugano looks like... he could be a piece for it. So we're really at that weird spot. When I was driving up here today, I was listening to Luke and I talking about Mancini and Lopez being dealt a couple of summers ago, right? Not that far off. We're at that point now where this productivity of certain players, and nobody's off limits to me other than probably Holiday and Henderson right now, maybe Rutschman, right?
I agree with you. I don't think Rutschman's untouchable just because they have another catcher at AAA who's really good, and or hopefully he's going to be really good. And I think it depends what you can get for him. If you're going to get a haul, I mean, if you're going to get like a Juan Soto return for him, then you're going to trade him. I mean, I don't know.
Seeing the Red Sox get Crochet, seeing maneuvering, Scooble was very available. If you would have gotten creative last year, if you really wanted Scooble, you could have had him.
Yes.
It may have taken a Cowser and a, you know, or even Holiday, you know,
right.
I don't know. But like, Scooble for Holiday? I don't know. Give me a guy who's going to take the ball every fifth day, because without Jim Palmer, you're not winning. Without pitching, they're not winning. They're just not winning.
Give
me all the bats you want.
I also get where Elias is coming from. And he didn't say these words, but his fear was he throws $300 million
at
Scooble or at Crochet, and then they blow their elbow out. I mean, Crochet had Tommy John already. So, I mean, yes, I know you have to take a chance.
I worry every day about Lamar Jackson.
Of course.
Bending his pinky-winky toe. But at some point, you got to give him $50
million
and put him in and say you got to have him. You got to have a quarterback.
Agreed. But, you know, if you ask me of the core players now, and I know everybody's saying O'Hearn's got the most value and all this stuff, I still think Cedric's the first one to go. I think he's the most expendable of that group right now, because you have Cowser that can play center. Dylan Carlson's done a nice job.
Well, if you're not going to win with him, then it's time to get rid of
them,
whoever they are.
And there's teams that need center fielders.
I mean, like Eflin. I mean, this team could really go into the crapper worse in August and September if the mind eye, and who knows, Rubenstein didn't hire Mike Elias. Rubenstein didn't know anything about baseball, and he's going to hire the next baseball guy, or he and solely he, with Cal Ripken or whatever, are going to decide whether Mike Elias is the guy or not. Mike Elias is going to pick the next set of vegetables.
Yes.
July 13th, he's going to draft,
and
he's going to be the trade deadline guy maneuvering whoever the Yuznel Diaz's are in this hall. And, like, so then after that, you're going to throw him out with the bathwater October 1st and go get Dave Dombrowski or the next Pat Gillick or the next genius, or you're going to hire Cal to run the team and Billy to manage it.
Right.
I mean, who knows what they're going to do? And this guy's already made a bobblehead of himself. There's no rails up on the gutters of good ideas and bad ideas for this organization. He gave a bobblehead out of himself. Show me an owner in the history of sports that's done that in the first year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to hear the back conversation of that. Did he go to them and say, I want a bobblehead?
I don't know. I don't care.
Or did somebody say, you walk around, you shake hands, you're part of the crowd, maybe we should make a bobblehead for fun? I don't know. It was weird. I'm not going to say it wasn't.
But all of this is weird. The general manager fired the manager on Preakness Saturday morning and hid for 3.5 days and was found in the dugout in Milwaukee on Tuesday night. That's not... Come on, dude. You own Duck Doctors. Right. I mean, if I bring Chris over here from Green Bay, he fires employee by a fax on Tuesday. The main person everybody sees at the front door and decides to show up Tuesday in a different time zone to talk about it. I mean, come on, man. Right. I mean, this is basics of emotional intelligence.
It did not have a good look.
None of it has a good look. Right. None of it. How Jim Palmer doesn't have a good look. Cutting his games. What about this has gotten better in the last year? That's the question I have for ownership, for leadership, for management. They fired the manager. They blamed it on him.
But they had to make a change on the field.
I'm just talking about the whole banana of Birdland, of what's promised, what's delivered, the television brought, just all of it. There's a new guy responsible for it, and it doesn't feel dissimilar to the dysfunction of firing a manager on a Saturday morning and hiding till Tuesday night. Dan Duquette wouldn't have done that. Andy McPhail wouldn't have done that.
I agree.
No general manager I've ever met. I had Barry Trotz on. Barry Trotz wouldn't have done that.
Okay. How do we know that Rubenstein didn't go to Elias and said, in the finance world, we make these announcements and then we wait a couple days for things to settle down?
Well, that's not the baseball world.
I know. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that we don't know the backstories.
We're not doing funeral homes and we're not doing that.
There's a lot of stories, a lot of things that we don't know that have gone into all this. And that's where the questions...
Well, this is where when they throw the media out, we don't find out,
right? No question.
We'll do Justin Tucker in our next segment.
Right. I mean, that's a prime example.
I don't know, man. You've skated on the outside of the media because you're like a little bit of a media whore to begin with. You like media. You consume all this. You watch the McAfee show. You're a huge sports fan. You were in it with me for a minute.
Right.
I'm your blood brother. I've been in it forever. You've had friends marry in and out of it and people you know. It's not good when there's no oversight, whether it's the President of the United States and checks and balances or whether it's your company and your managing Duck Doctors or I'm managing WNST in some bizarre fashion that doesn't serve your customers, whoever your customers are. That's really what it's about. When you get sideways with your employees or when I did, they would always think, in my business, had my face on it. Well, it's about you, man. No, dude, it's about it. It's about the business. It's about it and them, the customers. It's about it, the business, and them, the people who support it. Because humans have to support this unless we're dealing in livestock here, right? Like literally.
Right.
And the humans that have been involved in this, just all the way through, I am so perplexed at all of it. I waited all these years for a new owner to come along, and I thought, man, this... The only thing I see are back slaps and hats being thrown out and commercials and like nothing that's tangible to what's important.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Please do, because you're a ticket buyer.
We're 1 year, let's say, roughly into the Rubenstein era. He's learning on the job. This is a different job than the finances we just talked about. He's learning on the job.
The hard
way. As an owner, right. As an owner, you can attest to this. There are certain things you do, and then you look back on and go, you know what? There's a better way to do that.
Oh, of course.
Make a change.
Sure.
And you're in a different position because you don't have people banging down your door. You're not paying people millions to work for you. You don't have an owner overseeing you because you are the owner. But that front office there, their system worked. Up until the second half of last year.
Until he couldn't make trades and couldn't acquire pro personnel.
Okay.
He's a great scout, right? The Ravens have Eric DaCosta, who runs it all, but ran college scouting. But Kokinas has been so strong at the pro personnel that when they look to say, who do the Mets have in their system? There's no way for Elias to be on that. But that would be his strength. His strength would be evaluating young talent and getting that pipeline. It has not been his strength acquiring the Jack Flaherty's and the Ryan. That has not. That really hasn't been his strength.
No, it has not been his strength. I'm not going to argue with that.
And that's not what he ever did in his career, right?
Right. But so, okay, so two points.
He was a different kind of chef, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So 2 points. I think that I'm going to first go to the Ravens, and I'm going to pick on EDC for a second. And I'm not
Do
even picking
you
on
want.
Him. I think he...
Low-integrity human.
I think... Look at the way he drafted wide receivers for years. Look at the organization, the way they drafted him for years. They obviously sat down and said, we're drafting the wrong people to be wide receivers. Why? And they changed on the fly. And they wound up with Bateman. They wound up with Flowers. And I think that they've kind of turned the corner on that a little bit, we have to believe.
But they were taking shots on Perryman. I mean, they knew how important
right,
it was.
Right, but they weren't drafting the right guys for a reason. They were looking for something that wasn't going to make these guys successful. Or something that was going to make them successful, and
the
they were wrong.
The thing that changed everything, Perryman got drafted under Flacco. It was the Lamar system. That if I'm writing Purple Rain 3, and I'm not, it would be the night that they drafted Lamar and said, all right, if he's the North Star, the entire system of the kinds of wide receivers, the kinds of tight ends, what Patrick Ricard would represent in that, what I always said the missing ingredient was Derrick Henry.
Right.
Not a running back.
Agreed.
I always said it was Derrick Henry. And they went out last year and they steamrolled teams in that way. But the Zay Flowers thing, he's a completely different kind of wide receiver than anything they would have done with Joe Flacco. Same thing with Hollywood Brown. Completely different kind of wide receiver target in an offense that's shifty with a quarterback that's got the best legs in the history of the game. I mean, they've drafted different kinds of athletic offensive linemen. So ideologically, I think Eric would stand up and say, well, our system changed, which made us change how, the kinds of wide receivers we got.
Okay.
And therefore, and with this quarterback.
But they still changed. They still changed.
Yes.
That's my point.
They changed the whole system.
Yes.
They gave the whole operation. They changed the ideology. I mean, come on, dude. Harbaugh was calling it a revolution back in 19 when it was working. Remember?
Right.
When they were running the Erector set around and they were running Flacco's offense with Lamar as quarterback and nobody could figure out what the hell to do. And Lamar was just basically running with the football.
Yes.
Right.
That was
literally,
it.
Right?
Pretty
like
much.
Until the Chargers, Pagano's brother, brought that 92 defense in and beat him.
Right.
And frustrated him, and they're still trying to figure that out. The Orioles now have this catcher, this 1-1 in free fall. They have this shortstop third baseman, a beast in Henderson that we're trying to figure out, is he going to be a nice player or is he going to be an MVP candidate? Holiday went from he's too young, he doesn't shave, to my God, he might be Joe Morgan, you know?
Right.
But he might also be a shortstop.
Correct.
And Gunnar Henderson might be a third baseman, and Jordan Westberg might be a second baseman. But we don't know that.
I guess my point is that up until the season, or let's say the All-Star break last year, Elias was a god in this town. We're not even a year removed yet, and he and everybody's ready to kick him out the door. Let's see what happens.
Brandon High was manager of the year, and he fired
him. I know.
And then hit for 3.5 days.
Okay, fine. But I'm just saying that, like, you got to give somebody a chance to...
I say the laugh, this, I laugh out loud. I don't know what... As a reporter,
right.
I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody does. I mean, there's maybe a guy inside the warehouse, a reporter, that has insight, but nobody
else
does.
Well, I mean, firing Brandon Hyde's like just, you know, changing the window dressing.
But I think you had to do that. Who was it? The Bruins quite a few years ago.
Well, they started
hockey?
To win since they fired him, so
right.
it looks like a stroke of genius. So.
What team was it? Was it the Bruins 5-6 years ago? There was an NHL team that was like struggling all year.
They fired
the coach late in the year, and then they won the Stanley Cup.
Dude, Trotz almost got fired in March of that year, right?
Right.
Like, and then they won the Cup 3 months later.
Yeah, so...
There was a movement afoot to fire Barry Trotz
right.
in March.
Sometimes you just need to make a change for the sake of making a change. And you take a guy and you say to a guy like Rutschman, you know what? If the manager could be fired, you could be traded. Or you could be sent down. Or you could be benched. And it kind of wakes people up. I believe that. Especially young guys. I'm not talking about guys like Soto who are getting $700 million a year who he doesn't care what happens around them. You know? He's in
well,
his own
ideally,
world.
You sign guys that do care about what happens around
right.
them. You
well,
know what I mean?
And I think
these guys did
guys.
Get their manager fired, for better or worse, whether they liked them or not.
And I
but
think
it doesn't help
it.
Anybody outside of O'Hearn, Mullins, and Holiday, maybe Brian Baker for a minute, Batista being able to come back from the injury he sustained. But, like, all of these names that I've brought up, other than those names, are moving spare parts toward trying to say who's going to be on the playoff team next year, not this year.
At least right now. Yes. But I personally, if I'm the owner, I let Elias see it through. You can always fire him next May, next June.
Dude, I'm not in the fire Mike Elias camp. I'm in the be more professional top to bottom camp. Top to Katie Griggs, Rubenstein, Ripken. If you're in or you're out, or are you getting paid to sit behind home plate? Are you making decisions? Are you like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are the mind eye of the franchise at this point.
Yes.
You know, the franchise is Rubenstein and Eric Geddy and the money bags and the hot dog race. The mind eye is the Whistler who is maneuvering all of this as the Kevin Byrne around Rubenstein that whistled the national anthem last year. And then there's Katie Griggs and everything that happens over there from Latino night to me being banned on Latino night. Right? Like, literally, right? Like, and the Birdland membership and what they're doing for fans and texting fans at 9 in the morning and saying, hey, we're playing a game at 4 today, not 6. What?
Well, that's actually MLB, I think.
What?
They said MLB ultimately decides that stuff.
That's doing this. Like, it doesn't...
I know. That, but,
by the way, when's a Justin Tucker investigation coming? That's another one of those. Yeah.
Right.
Not my department. We push that off to headquarters. Man, what a convenient... What a lousy, lame, just all the way around.
But
show some accountability. Both franchises.
You're never going to see accountability on that because if they take accountability for it, they're going to lose draft picks. They're going to be fine. They're going to be everything else because they knew. So they're never going to take accountability. They're going to play stupid forever, and that's it.
Howard Scherer is here. Our crab cakes are getting cold. We're at Greenmount Station. We are in beautiful Hampstead, Carroll County. I'm going to be talking about Carroll County Youth a little later on. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be talking about LinkedIn Local with Melody Barron, who I saw give a speech about her sports fan. She's a Philadelphia sports fan, so this is not going to go well. And also, David Richardson's going to be here to talk about horse racing, OTB, bowling. They have a bowling alley next door, and it's... Before you leave here, walk into the bowling alley and tell me that Hump and Howie and Nasty Nestor wouldn't want to bring Critics' Choice DJ in there to DJ a Taylor Swift dance party in there on a Friday night.
Does it compare to Pinland?
It's better than Pinland.
Okay.
And that's saying
something.
That says
something if you're saying it.
Hey.
Right.
I am Nestor. We're up here doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Howie, ooh, look at that. You got, to honor the great Luis Aparicio,
number 11.
You get number 11. There
nice,
you go.
Thank
Back
you.
To the future. We're going to stick around. We're going to do another segment around here. I think we're going to do some football. We do football next? Is that
okay?
Right? Yep. You done with baseball?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to give in baseball?
I always got time for baseball.
All right. You got to go. You want to say anything about the football team before I let you go? You already dropped the mic on the Tucker thing. You've already indicted the franchise. So.
Well, I mean, who am I? I'm just speculating.
You're on camera. You're on mic right now. You can either deny it or not. You knew someone involved in this situation.
Indirectly, yes.
And you knew about it before the story hit the banner. When you saw it in the headline, you had heard the
whispers.
Within
24 hours, I had confirmation.
Okay.
Secondhand
confirmation. You are among about a dozen people that approached me within that time frame and said, yeah.
It's true.
I know people who are the ladies and who are, you know, like, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
it's already been forgotten, right? Like, it's unbelievable how quickly the news cycle will work. Now, if Tucker wants to bring this back up when he signs or whatever, they probably have all lawyered this out and said, you know, Justin, whenever you catch on with the Giants or whatever, probably that's the time where we should all do this all at once instead of...
Tucker's
indicted the journalist. He's indicted the women. He's like,
I think that's why he's going to Texas or somewhere and is going to live on a ranch in the middle of nowhere.
You think he's never going to kick again?
I think he's never going to kick again. I think he's going to ride off into the sunset because I think it's the smart thing for him to do. He does not need or want to be in the spotlight. Take his millions and go away.
Wow, you have a whole different. See, I've met that kid, so like, I think he's going to go kick for someone and be defiant and say none of this ever happened.
Well, then
that's what he said.
Then
all
I think
along.
He gets the Deshaun Watson treatment from the NFL.
He's for 5 months. He is the first person he should apologize to is Julie Sharper and her family and her kids,
right.
And
yes.
Yeah, and her bosses and anybody like me that reported it.
I think he knows. I mean, you know if you're guilty or not. Ego, putting ego aside, I think you know if you're guilty,
know,
and I think
have
if you know...
There's some dark people, I mean...
Yeah, but I...
You know, dark-souled people, I'm saying, like, you just...
But the NFL investigators, you have to believe the NFL
Look
investigators.
Look at the guy running the country. I mean, it's farcical that anybody would believe this. But it's here. It's true.
Yes.
And when he's up, it feels like he believes it.
It does. It does. I'd like to think he's
that
a little
if I wrote
than
with a magic marker MS-13 on my knuckles, that they would want to put me in a Honduran prison.
Right.
If I did that. Like, literally, if I
yes.
did that. Or if I did that to support a Venezuelan who's in a Honduran prison, that would make me put me off in some concentration camp. You know
of
what
course.
I mean? Like, yeah, it's,
right.
it's sane.
Yes.
It's sane what people are willing to believe, what they're willing to forget, which is why every good lawyer who touched me in that period of time, and I had a half a dozen of them, because I was calling everybody. They're like, if Justin Tucker were my client, I would have told him, throw yourself on the mercy of the court, apologize for all of it, say you were young and stupid, and do the rest of your career in servicing battered women, massage therapists, being on the right side.
Look at Ray
the
Rice.
Way Michael Vick did, or whatever.
How Ray Rice turned his life around.
Be that person.
Right.
And
image, yes.
You get one chance to fix that. But attack the reporters, and Nestor's going to eat your ass for lunch the rest of your life.
Right. So.
Right.
But
how about that?
I get what you're saying, but I still think the NFL knows, and I think Tucker knows
the NFL.
The NFL
knows everything,
and I think Tucker knows that. That's why I think he's done. I can be wrong. We can bet a scratch off on it if you want.
I can't bet you a scratch off, but I can bet you two fried crab cakes here at Greenmount Station.
That's fine. I don't think he kicks again.
You know what? I want to bet you. I want to bet you a deep Eddie Orange Crush.
Fine.
Because it's now the state drink, and it's delicious.
Okay.
And it goes with crab cakes.
Perfect.
All right. Howard Shares, my friend. Tell me about Duck Doctors. You suck ducks for a living professionally.
Do.
And that's ducks with a T, not with a K.
Correct. We are air duct cleaning and dryer vent cleaning specialists located right here in the areas where our headquarters are. We service everywhere
Integrity,
from Virginia Beach.
Quality.
Right.
My friend.
We strive for one thing, and that's to be the best. And that's best customer service, best job we do. Just about everything. So.
I don't want to put Justin Tucker with you and Rofo Chicken, but that's why he's going to kick again, because he's going to have to be just what you said, that the hockey competitor in you, and I met
yes.
you at, that you played hockey your whole life, you're competitive as hell, it's why you shouldn't gamble. Like, just if I ever played pickleball, I play with you, but I'm never playing pickleball. But like the competitor in you saying we're going to be the best.
Yeah.
That's why Justin Tucker's going to kick again. I just want to say that because okay. I know
well,
how.
Thank you for comparing
you
me to Justin
guy.
Tucker.
I'm not competitive at all.
Right.
At
thank
all.
You. I appreciate the comparison.
No, I'm just saying.
I know. I like a good massage.
Can I ask you this? How many people have put their hands on your body in a massage? You're 55 years old, right?
A lot.
Dozens
not,
upon
not
dozens.
Not inappropriately.
No, but I'm saying
correct.
What? Well, if you've been getting
yes.
massage,
yes.
if you're a massage person,
yes.
Right? I would think my number's well north of 50,
yeah.
maybe up on 100. Vegas here, beaches here,
right.
Caribbean, on a boat somewhere,
yeah.
wherever. But, you know, my trusted massage therapist. I have two trusted massage therapists, male and female, here
yeah.
That have worked on my body for 20 years, as well as a reflexologist, as well as I get pins, acupuncture.
Yep.
Hi, Rhonda. I've been to this I've told this story. I go to New York a lot because I like to walk around. It's flat, and I can eat anything I want and do whatever I want to do, let my hair out. And there's a place in Chinatown there that's a great massage place. Look it up. It's 4.9 stars, got 12,000 reviews. It's a businessman executive thing, hot stones, the whole deal. And it's inexpensive against, like,
yeah.
you know, what, $125?
I've probably been there. I've done a couple in Chinatown.
Yeah. So if I were to go there and play the hanky-panky game, I am just assuming one of the dudes from James Bond, Man with the Golden Gun, with the sumo suit, comes and kicks my ass for as long as he wants.
Totally agree.
It's on the second floor. probably drags my ass in whatever direction he felt necessary,
right,
down the steps, in my underwear, out the door, holding my mangled Visa card.
Yeah.
And the cop would be waiting for me right out on Canal Street. And it's Canal Street for sure. So there would be no soup dumplings to go afterward.
Yeah.
Would be no Xing Sha beer. There would be no Peking duck.
Listen.
There would just be Nestor and Howard getting their ass beat in Lower Chinatown. Am I right or am I wrong?
You have to have just enough wrong with you and big kahunas to go ahead and think that it's okay to do what he did.
Correct. All right.
Bottom line.
That's why I bring you out. Tell everybody how to find you at Duck Doctors.
Duck Doctor.
Tell them what's wrong in their ducks that they need to get done. Because
I'm not
going to
pick on this place. Right. So, you know, if you have pets, if there's been smokers in the house, if you have allergies, if you haven't lived in the house forever, you don't know what somebody did before, you're breathing in all that air. It can cause everything from coughing to sneezing to long-term effects. Nobody really is 100% sure what you can have. You can have mold in your ductwork. We're not mold testers, but you can certainly have microbial.
When you did mine, I knew mine hadn't been done in like 15 years.
And you said the air felt crisper afterwards.
100%.
It
does. The whole place smells
better. It does.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. Yeah. So find us, www.duct, doctor spelled out, dmv.com. Give us a call, 800-955-1275.
If you know me, you know Howard, right?
Right.
I mean, if you find me, you can find Howard.
Yes.
All right, we're out of Greenmount Station. I'm going to find these crab cakes because they've been sitting here too long. I gave Howie number 11. Number 12 is going to David, I think, when he gets here.
I love
doing the show up here. I love the crab cake up here. I would eat it on camera, but I'd make a mess. But trust me.
They look good.
Somewhere over Hampstead, there's them crab cakes. I'm going to go get them. Back for more. We're at Hampstead at Greenmount Station. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery, Curio Wellness, and our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions.